Because he has realized me, a Brahman is firmly fixed in the knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe, and also the primary elements and its creation, are all manifest forms expanded from me. Mandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Krishna. This one fact, if it is understood, it will immediately solve every problem in human society. Simply this one piece of information must be had. That everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarva shamat prabhava mutak sarvam prabhartita. It is confirmed also by the same wonderful Lord Sri Krishna in his own words in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And it is confirmed also by Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakara Karma. So if you trace everything back to its original source, there will you find the Supreme Lord Himself. Now the atheists, they want us to believe that all of this has come out of nothing. You see? But is that a very logical understanding? Does any of you here, do any of you here have the experience of something coming out of nothing? You see? Has this building come out of nothing? You see? Has Melbourne come out of nothing? Is there any scientific evidence anywhere in the history that any one thing has ever come out of nothing? There is no such evidence. You see? We have a huge ocean of evidence to confirm that everything comes from something. And that something came from something, and that something came from something. So, if we trace back that chain of causality, sarva-karana-karanam, to that original cause, that is Krishna. Many people ask me, they say, well, what is the origin of Krishna? The Ramaji says, Krishna has no origin, anadi. Or if you want to insist, oh, but he must have an origin. What is his origin? Then his origin is Krishna. He himself, he's self-manifested. Why is Krishna manifesting himself? For the sheer pleasure of it. And he is manifesting everything else also for his own pleasure and satisfaction. So we have to see how everything is coming from Krishna. Therefore, if he is the manufacturer of everything, it is logical to understand he is also the owner. That person who is producing everything from his own energy, he must necessarily also own it. And if he is the owner, what does that mean? It means he's the enjoyer also. He is the rightful enjoyer. That person who owns something, you see, he is the rightful enjoyer. If somebody else takes your car, he grabs the keys and takes your car, he's the thief. You will call the police and have him arrested. Because he cannot enjoy your car. You see, it is your car. The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. If someone tries to enjoy your wife, he is adulterer. You see, he cannot do it. She is your wife. No one else can. So, since Krishna is the owner, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, as confirmed by he himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he is also the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram Yagatatasam. So, we understand this simple point that everything is coming from Krishna. From that, we can understand everything else. Simply we have to understand this one point, solidly, clearly, that nothing exists save and except by dint of the fact that Krishna is manifesting that thing from himself. You see? I one time gave a lecture at a high school in Helsinki, and I asked the children, why do you exist? And one child said, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby. So that's bodily pleasure. Yes, that's why his body is there. There's no argument to that. But he's thinking simply the body. The body is simply garment. That is our, we everyone in this Krishna Ganga's movement, we all know this body is simply a garment. Today I put on a red shirt, tomorrow a green shirt. What's the big deal? You see? Male body, female body, white body, black body, human body, so many. We have such a huge wardrobe. We have a closet with 400,000 different types of garments, you see. This material nature is a big closet. Today I'll be this, tomorrow I'll be that, and this way. We've been going through the 8,400,000 species. Jalajana valakshani stavara lakshavinshati krimaya rudda sankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam shaktur chatur lakshani, you see. Tengsha Lakshani, Parshava, Chatura Lakshani, Manusha. It's clearly described in the Vishnu Purana. These biologists are in the dark. The Vedic biologists of a long time, many thousands and thousands of years ago, understood precisely how many species of life there are. You see? And these biologists are still trying to figure it out, and they've got it completely wrong. So, if we take advantage of this wonderful knowledge that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta P. Nandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is so kindly bestowed upon us, if we will live our lives in accordance with these divine principles, you see, then we'll be connected with His Divine Grace and all the acharyas in this wonderful, wonderful line that take us back to Krishna. Back to home, back to God. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada Sampradaya. This is the most wonderful, auspicious position to be in. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada Sampradaya. That we can get the shelter of this greatest of all the spiritual masters. Take advantage of His full mercies. Dedicate ourselves fully to understanding and implementing with our every thought, our every word, and our every deed these wonderful, wonderful teachings that He has given us. Then our achieving the supreme perfection, re-entering the eternal pastimes of the Lord is transcendental kingdom, is absolutely 100% guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. It's not if, it's simply when. I say, when I will go back to Godhead. It's guaranteed. If one fully surrenders to these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then one will achieve that supreme destination. Absolutely guaranteed. And one will then meet face to face that person. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explained, I was just reading yesterday in one lecture, he was saying that one should be very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to talk with the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face in this lifetime. He said one should be very eager to achieve this. He said not in Vaikuntha Sahaja, but through service. One should be very eager to see and speak with Krishna in this lifetime. So Prabhupada is really offering us something very special, you see. He's offering us an opportunity to actually see Krishna even within this very lifetime. That's what he's saying. We should be very eager. He quotes Rupa Goswami Lala Yama, eagerness. We must have this eagerness to see and speak with Krishna in this very lifetime. So how will we do that? We have to become completely dedicated to Guru and Krishna, totally sold out service. That we have no personal motives, no personal agenda. We simply want to do everything we can to make Prabhupada and Krishna a success, that's all. This is, I remember that one of the most wonderful pieces of advice I ever heard was from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was giving a seminar on nectar devotion in Vrindavan. And he said that we should simply pray to Srila Prabhupada to engage me in every way I can best serve your mission. That's the most wonderful prayer, actually. Perfectly situates the Prabhupada and do this in pure bhakti. That mood that Srila Prabhupada, I can do anything and everything for you. Simply, whatever you want me to do, you let it be known to me exactly how I can best serve you, how I can best serve your mission. So if each and every member of this movement will take up this mood, then quickly we can attract the whole world. We can all be fully dedicated to just doing whatever it takes to please Srila Prabhupada, make his mission successful. Then our movement will spread like wildfire and inundate the entire planet very quickly. So we all have to train ourselves, get out of this lusty, angry, greedy, mad, illusion, envious mode that we sometimes find ourselves in. We wake up in the morning and really go deeply into, you know, pure devotional service. This will make our lives successful, and it will make this movement inconceivably successful. So I can ask now if there's any question.
Introduce the Maha Mantra to some, like a group of people in the street, say during Harinam, what would you say in a couple of sentences?
Well, it depends. Whenever I ask these types of questions, I say it's according to the mentality of the people. You have to judge. I mean, I can give you an idea, but it could be not appropriate to the particular individual. You know. But it really depends where they're at. I mean, back in the 60s, they used to the countercultural youth, they used to have a little flyer, you know, tune in, turn on, no more coming down, yeah, that's what it was. Get high, stay high forever, no more coming down. I mean, depends on the mentality of the people. You tell them, If you chant this mantra, you get so high, you'll never come down. Why don't you chant with this? I mean, that's one thing you could say. It really depends completely on the individuals. You know, it really, really depends. The main thing is not so much, as Prabhupada told me, he gave me a tip one time about how to sell people in Krishna consciousness. He gave me a personal tip. He said it's not so much what you say, but how you say it, you see. Because when we see like two book distributors, they use the same line, but one is selling 100 books and one is selling 10 books. It's the way you say it, the feeling, the emotion, the conviction in your heart, that really makes a difference, you see. Someone who has a burning conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and everybody on this planet must have one of his books, they can say any number of things and be successful in selling a book just because they have that conviction burning in their heart, you see. That fire of conviction, you see. Just like we see when these these forest fires break out, you see. The flames will sometimes shoot through the air and they'll make some the firemen trying to prevent it from spreading, you see. They will clear one area to try to keep the fire from spreading. The fire's going to just jump over the open area that they made and then continue burning, you see. So your fire is strong enough, they can jump right into their heart. You see, if your fire bhakti is strong enough, they can jump right into their heart and they'll be chanting and dancing. They'll be amazed. I don't know what happened, but I was chanting and dancing. I was with this person and he was so fired up before I knew it, I was singing and dancing with it. You see, just your own, the main thing is your enthusiasm. Just be enthusiastic, like Hanuman, you know, setting Lanka on fire with his tail. You go to Harinam, I want to chant with so much enthusiasm that the whole downtown Melbourne will join this kirtan, you see. That's the kind of enthusiasm that, you know, will attract people. Because they're suffering like anything. Let's face it, I mean, it's miserable here, it's material. Especially nowadays. I mean, God, petroleum is so expensive, raised morning, and, you know, people are giving up their cars and are riding on bicycles, you know. It's really a lot of anxiety people are going through. How to keep their maintain the status quo, you know. So you give them some alternative. You don't need to worry about anything. Just chant Hare Krishna, and you'll be happy. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. Get Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's all you need to be happy. If you're convinced, then you tell them, oh, wow, this is really amazing. Let me check this out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Any other questions? Thank you for the nice question. Appreciate it. Yeah.
I read in one of Prabhupada's purports that being in Krishna consciousness and being in Maya is like, it's like stepping into the shade, like in a, like when you're in the sun, then you can't be in darkness, and when you're in the shade, then you are in darkness. So sometimes it's just like
my dull ears are nothing. Try again.
Okay. Basically. I'm just trying to think of the question. How much? Sometimes when we push ourselves in service, then we lose that enthusiasm and it affects negatively on our Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. How can we avoid doing that?
How are you going to avoid losing your enthusiasm? When you try to enthusiastically do service and all of a sudden, boom, your enthusiasm, like a balloon, it just pops and it's finished? Kind of something like that? Well, it's a very simple thing, actually. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you will see there's the difference between the mode of passion and the mode of goodness. The mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end, and the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So we see many people come to this movement, they're all fired up, but then gradually they lose the enthusiasm. What does that mean? Their service was in the mode of passion. Their Krishna consciousness was in the mode of passion. They didn't Of course, I'm not saying you shouldn't use your passion for Krishna. We have to do that, but we should combine it with sattvaka. You combine your passion with sattvaka, you see, and you keep those working together as a team. That's why we have the Bhagavatam class. That's why we encourage Bhakti Shastri. Prabhupada wanted everyone to become Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, in this way, to become very learned, to see everything through the eyes of scripture. If you have this Shastra Chakshus, or you could say Prabhupada Chakshus, seeing everything through the eyes of how Prabhupada sees it, and you can analyze everything through the Prabhupada's way of seeing things, then that will carry you through all the ups and downs of the neophyte stage of devotional service, for sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not enthusiastic. If we simply act out of passion, we will definitely lose our enthusiasm eventually. So we have to cultivate sattva guna. Prabhupada said, therefore, you should always be engaged in studying, and you should always be engaged in doing service. So we have to have a philosophical vision while we're working very hard day and night to make this movement, this temple, a success. We should keep a philosophical vision the whole time. See everything through the eyes of scripture. Whether you're cleaning the toilet, distributing a book, offering an arti, managing the temple, collecting money, whatever, you're preaching to guests, whatever you may be doing, see it through the eyes of the scripture. And that will empower you, that will enable you to remain very steady in that service. Does that kind of answer your question?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. Prabhu.
You mentioned that if we see Krishna as the source of everything, mm-hmm. then we can solve all of our problems.
Yes, that's right.
What happens sometimes is devotees become discouraged when, despite Krishna consciousness, they still have problems. Mm-hmm. They put Krishna in the center. They know that everything comes from Krishna, and yet still there are problems in life.
Yeah, like like disease. You may come down with cancer. I mean, yes, that's a reality. What do you do? In fact, I'm writing something about that today for my talk for the day newsletter. I'm writing at this point how to cope with and transcend suffering. Because it's something, there's different, there's mild suffering, acute suffering, and absolutely devastating suffering. Now, how do you deal with it in a Krishna conscious way? Well, I put Krishna in the center, and now, you know, I'm going deaf. It's no fun going deaf. It's just I'm dealing with that myself, you see. And somebody else, they come down with terminal cancer, somebody else, this, you know, different thing. So how do you cope with these things that, you know, I gave everything to Krishna and now look what I'm getting, you know. See? Well, there's a wonderful verse which I meditate on again and again and again in the Bhagavatam. Tatte yukam pam su samikshavanu punjana evatma kritam bhavakam tadvagvapur vir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, those persons who were constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, meanwhile always offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So, somehow or other, we have to see everything as Krishna's arrangement, as Krishna's mercy. Even if it seems it's wrong or it's bad, we have to understand somehow Krishna is giving me this to purify me of my past misdeeds. Because, of course, you may say, but I'm initiated. I'm supposed to be free of all my karma. What is this past misdeeds? But no, Prabhupada explains there's a token reaction. We still get it. When you get initiated, 99% is gone, but that 1% you have to deal with. And the 1% of your past misdeeds you still have to deal with, you see, even after diksha. So that comes in the form of the various ways. You see, different types of suffering conditions we sometimes face. So we have to see that somehow or other, you know, I deserve worse than this, but and I'm still getting a token reaction. Now how do I deal with it in such a way? Now, one thing is this, of course. Of course, our basic philosophy, I'm not the body. So if I think that I'm going deaf, you see, that's an illusion. I'm not going deaf. The body may be going deaf, but it's not me, you see. So we have to, there's the external energy and the internal energy. By taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, that situates us in a different vantage point, you know, seeing everything from the perspective of the internal energy, not the external energy. So, instead of thinking I'm going deaf, I can think, well, that body out there in the external energy is going deaf. It's not me. It's something happening out there in the external energy. That's one very good way to distance yourself. Don't identify with the external energy, even the slightest bit. I'm just an observer of the external energy. I'm engaging in Krishna's service. I'm observing it, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm simply observing it and using it for Krishna and that's all. So in this way, you can situate yourself in your actual identity as a spiritual being by seeing it's something out there in the external energy. It's not me. So this sort of philosophical detachment and praying to Krishna, thanking him for his mercy to free me from my reaction from my past misdeeds, and to know, sure and certain, that this mood will definitely liberate me from all the repetition of birth and death. Krishna said, they're already liberated. So that position actually puts us in a liberated position. That mentality, that vision, puts us in a liberated position. That even at the moment of death, and see, we're solidly fixed in that position, even the moment of death in one faces. Which is the ultimate test for all of us, death. So in this way we can take whatever sufferings are coming to us now as a special blessing. It's training for death, actually. Take it as a special mercy, training for death.
Can it be a test for our unconditional...
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Can these situations be a test for unconditional devotion to Krishna?
Absolutely.
And
someone says, well, I'll be a devotee as long as Krishna gives me a healthy body and money, health and wealth. Then I'll be a thorough devotee. But if I become sick and I become poor, then I'm going to give up Krishna consciousness because Krishna didn't take good care of me. Actually, Prabhupada comments on this. I remember one lecture. He said that not that if I'm suffering I should think, well, I will leave the temple because I'm unhappy. He said that is not surrender. Surrender means whatever condition Krishna puts me in, that is our way. Whatever condition, that is surrender. Krishna can give me happiness, he can give me misery, he can give me honor, he can give me dishonor. He can give me any. We pray like that, Shikshastra. You're free to do anything that you want with me. I'm your unconditional servant. You can embrace me, you can make me brokenhearted by. You know, whatever you do, you handle me roughly, handle me gently, ignore me, whatever you want to do, Krishna, it doesn't matter because I belong to you and that's it. I'm your property, do with me as you like. So these, whenever we face, you know, different degrees of, you know, mild, acute, or devastating suffering conditions, we should just, you know, we should now say, oh yeah, this is an opportunity to become sober, become more sober, see everything through the scripture. Not easy. I mean, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Especially when the more the suffering becomes acute, it becomes more and more difficult. You wonder, why is Krishna doing this? Why? Yeah.
My experience is that you'll have a difficulty.
It's different.
You'll have difficulty. You'll experience
your experience, do you have a difficulty?
No, not.
You have a difficulty.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. My experience is you'll experience, you'll have difficulty.
Difficulty.
Yeah. But then something good will happen also.
That's right.
It's not always bad.
That's right.
And sometimes in your service it'll be tough.
Right.
And what you worked for apparently didn't come. But then the next week the result comes, but it comes in a very, very different way.
Right.
Then you appreciate actually Krishna is behind all of this.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, it may be really bad today. Tomorrow will be something else.
Some incredible surprise, some wonderful thing will happen. That's the thing. We just have to keep our faith and then we'll be amazed.
Wow,
that's amazing. Look what Krishna says. The thing.
And so it appears as if it's a loss. It looks like a loss.
That's right. It looks like all hope is lost. You know.
But then the next day you'll realize actually that was the best thing that happened to me.
It's actually, I mean, look, here's a nice example. Look in the Krishna book, you know. They just come from Kali, they just come after Krishna Siddhu Kali. They're on their way back. It's a joyous thing, you know. Krishna is saved now. Kali was subdued, driven away. The Jamuna is cleaned up from all the poison. Everything's great. They're going back, and all of a sudden, this huge forest fire comes to kill everyone. You know, what to do? You know? Complete anxiety. We're being devoured by a forest fire. Krishna. But then, sucks the whole thing up, and everything's fine again. So sometimes it's like that. We feel like we're being devastated by a forest fire on all sides. All hope is lost. It's finished. And we just have to go, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then, everything's fine again. So Krishna puts, why does Krishna put the Vrijavasis through this? You see? They're already fear devotees. Actually, it's rasa. Krishna wants to enjoy. Krishna takes great pleasure in seeing how much they can feelingly take shelter from. It's a great pleasure for him to increase their feeling, that he wants to see that love they feel for him is increasing, 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 increasing. So he puts them into apparent difficulty. Actually, there's never any difficulty. It just appears to be difficult. But those apparent difficulties are simply there because Krishna wants to extract more and more and more love from us. That's what he wants, our love. He's greedy for our love. So he puts us in a difficulty so we can, just like even the Vrijavasi is in the difficulty, to extract more and more love out of us so he can reciprocate. Not in a selfish way, but he wants to reciprocate love with us. So he puts us in the difficulty so we can increase our feelings of love and dependence, so he can give us more and more of his kindness and love. That's a wonderful question. Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah?
Sometimes our health can be impeding to others.
Sometimes what?
Our physical health can be impeding to others. That can be a hassle for other devotees.
Try one more time.
Sometimes our health can be impeding to others.
Is what?
Difficulty for others.
It's difficult for others.
Oh, okay. Difficult, okay.
Yeah. What do you say about like a devotee who suddenly is no longer useful to services and then all of a sudden, you know, it becomes burden?
So, are you asking from the perspective of how we should see that devotee or how the devotee should see his own position?
What happen to that devotee? Yeah.
What will happen?
Yeah. Like,
how should we look after them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How should we look after?
How should? Well, Prabhupada, one time, Shyamasundara became very sick, and no one looked after him. And Prabhupada, I think it was Shyamasundara, maybe it was Gurudas. Anyway, I forget which devotee, but Prabhupada was very unhappy that the devotees didn't care for that devotee. He said, if I would have known, I would have personally taken care of you. I know that you were sick and no one was taking care of you. I would have personally taken care of you. So Prabhupada is teaching us in that way that we should take care. I remember when Vishnu Dhammaraj, when he was a young brahmachari in the San Francisco temple, he fell sick. And so Prabhupada let him move into his own quarters because it was a better atmosphere for recuperating. Can you imagine? Prabhupada took him into his own quarters to live there until he got well. So we should be very, very compassionate among the devotees. We should not think, oh, Prabhu, you're not the body. No, we should say this Krishna is blessing me with a wonderful opportunity to serve this great personality more than I normally have an opportunity to serve him. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. I remember one time when I first went to Mayapur back in the early 80s, when the Brahmacharis got sick. So I personally went and got a doctor and brought him there to the long building, into the room. And that devotee never forgot. Years and years later, he's never forgotten that I brought a doctor to him. I went to the trouble of going and finding a doctor and bringing him to the room to help him in that condition. So the more we can have loving relationships with Vaishnavas, that's how we become pleasing to Krishna. So take someone's sickness as a great opportunity now to go out of your way more than you would normally do to serve that. That's the best thing. Okay.
It seems that perhaps the two of your good wife are very surrendered in your devotional lives. Would you like to comment on that, please?
Comment on things that we're very surrendered?
Yes, as a Grihastha couple.
And we're very
devotional lives.
We're
as a Grihastha couple, Grihastha. Each other. In your devotional lives and keeping Krishna in the center.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, we personally don't take any credit but we give all the credit to all the devotees who bless us with their association. Srila Prabhupada is there. I'm on my own, I'm a hopeless disaster actually, but because I'm blessed by so many Vaishnavas over the years, different examples I've seen, different instructions I've gotten over the years, I've taken advantage of all the mercy of Prabhupada and his followers. And by taking, so I give his credit to Prabhupada and his wonderful followers. Just like Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time said in Dallas, he said, show me a successful marriage whose middle name is not compromised. So I always remember that nice instruction that he gave. And it works. There's another nice example. And I don't know if you have here, but in Texas where we have our ashram there, a hurricane, somebody blowing off the Gulf, a very powerful wind. They can knock everything over, they can break the glass in the window, they can knock the trees completely over, very powerful wind. So it is said that the trees that bend do not break. But the trees that don't bend, they break. So, in any relationship, whether it's husband, wife, guru, and disciple, you see, we have to be very flexible. Of course, we don't ask our guru to be flexible. The guru is naturally flexible, actually, by his loving kindness. But in any relationship we have, we have to be very much flexible. And not rigid, and it has to be my will. We have to always think that I am not perfect. I am not always right. So let me always be sensitive to working cooperatively with this person. And in this way, we can weather all these storms that sometimes come. Just like the storms blow off the Gulf, we also have within our own psyche, we have hurricanes, psychic hurricanes sometimes in our life. I have mine, you have yours, we all have our psychic hurricanes that blow in sometimes. So we have to just be very flexible when they come, be willing to do whatever it takes to stay on course in our spiritual lives. I know when my wife's and mine traveling, we're getting our energy from all of you. Here we are in Melbourne, we're being inspired and enlightened by you. This wonderful community here, where Prabhupada is so much present. This is one of the few places in the world where I feel Prabhupada's presence so strongly. I was talking to Anandaprabhu yesterday about this. This is a very, very very special temple. Prabhupada is here. He's definitely here. He's on the Vyasa Sthan. He's in his room. He's walking back and forth between the temple room and his quarters. Prabhupada is here in every square inch of the temple. So if we take advantage of the wonderful atmospheres like we hear at the Melbourne Temple, and you know, then we can rise beyond all the Sagi hurricane blowing off the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, anything else? All right. Speak up loudly.
Often there are obstacles and we get frustrated.
Obstacles, I picked up that word.
Yeah, and we get frustrated.
We get frustrated when there's obstacles.
But how to be strict with yourself and lenient with others and not?
How to be strict with yourself and lenient with others and not?
Not
be frustrated by obstacles?
Not be frustrated with others.
Frustrated with others, yeah. Well, you've already answered your own question, haven't you? Check with yourself and lenient with others. That's really that's the answer. It's right out of Prabhupada's books. It's a wonderful answer you've given to your own question. If I'm very, very lenient with others and very, very tolerant, but with myself I'm very strict. You see, that's the easy way. I don't know but you've answered your own question so perfectly. I don't know about it. Is there something more that you'd like to do? Are you satisfied? Or do you want something more? Okay, so we're getting a little bit over time here. We'll stop here. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.